Well, the first Sunday of January is a special time with this congregation. We established a tradition a long, long time ago, I don't even know when it began, that Larry Smith would bring us the first sermon of the new year. We have so many visitors here, let me tell you a little bit about Larry. Larry and I have been co-ministers of this congregation for a long time. I can't even remember how long it has been. It's been hyphenated by Hurricane Ike, I know that. We were co-ministers here until the hurricane. Their house got destroyed. They went to the Cameron Road Church in Austin for a while and finally found their way back home, and he's been with us, I don't even know how many years since then, in the last 10 years. Larry is an unusual person in his background and in his training and experience. He's retired Los Angeles police sergeant. He's a Vietnam veteran, a Marine. That gives me comfort in case somebody should come in the auditorium and try to do us harm. We have Larry Smith ready to protect us. More than that, he is a great student of the Bible, a preacher. He did some of his work at Pepperdine University. On top of that, he has been a nationally known counselor, especially for school districts and police departments, where he's gone and given lectures on ethics and, you know, the things that they need to follow. And he and Pat are precious members of this church, and we love Pat and Larry Smith very much, and they love this church. So this is the first Sunday of the year, so my friend is going to present us with a lesson. And by the way, I may be the only one, but I remember his text a year ago and his thoughts from a year ago. Now, he may test you, but I do know those. Thank you.
Alan, as always, you're much too generous, but I really appreciate your kind words. One of the things that I am most proud of is the relationship that I do have with this man. Try to get through it without tearing up, because he's a very special person, special in every aspect, and I'm not the only one believing that when you look around this congregation. We know and love Mikey and Alan because they've been a guiding light, and I can attest to it from, it's actually been 18 years. So 18 years of working together, serving together, with that brief interlude for our time in Austin. And it has been, for me, one of the most beneficial relationships I've ever had in my life. And I thank Mikey and I thank Alan for that. What I wanted to do this morning is to acknowledge, because our lesson today is primarily on working within the congregation. I wanted to, this particular congregation, I think we have a very limited number of compensated staff. So it requires everybody pitching in, everybody doing all they can to make sure the congregation does the things that's necessary to save souls and to be here for one another. So all of the work that's primarily done is done by volunteers, those who have dedicated themselves to the Lord and see that as their guiding light, not necessarily financial compensation, but the idea of serving the Lord. And in the main, people do that silently without anybody really recognizing. Well, I want to start a new tradition today, that we acknowledge the folk that I can remember and the people that was brought to my attention. We acknowledge these people today because they brought us for a year and many years in the past, and we look forward to them bringing us for after today. Let me just read off a few names this is going into my message time, but I think it's important. When I call your name, please stand, because I do have certificates for you that as a reminder and a memento of the work that you've toiled and done for the past year. First of all, our first family, Alan and Mikey, please stand. Joe Knox would stand, but he's ill right now, so keep him in your prayers. Nancy Bailey, are you here? Okay, Nancy's not here. Shirley Henry, are you here? Please stand. Tim Lewis, are you here? Please stand. Darla Lewis, are you here? Please stand. Sandra Mola, are you here? Miss Sandy, where are you? Saw her earlier. When you see her, tell her I said stand. Loopy Thompson, where are you? Sheila Williams, where are you? Amy Davis, where are you? John Jones, where are you? Inez Jones, where are you? Where are these folks? Oh, okay. Armando Carnitas, where are you? Duncan Ferris, where are you? Velma Williams, where are you, Ms. Velma? All right, good enough. Just wave your hand. Suzanne Drews, where are you? Chris Garvin, where are you? Emily Garvin, where are you? Oh, with a new babe. They have a brand new babe, so let's wish them well. Okay. Alice Williams, where are you? BJ Henderson, where are you? Iris Speed, where are you? Diane Scott, where are you? Joan Merton, where are you? Let me speak about Joan Merton for a moment. She started a group here of ladies who live alone. They call themselves the sisters, with the emphasis on tuh, sisters. They call each other every morning to make sure everybody's okay. So for Joan Merton, please pass that on. Now I have these certificates. I will make sure that you get these certificates, but let's give these folks a round of applause. Now, if I have omitted anyone, believe me, please come to me and I will rectify the situation the next time I'm up here, okay? So please, thank you all very much, and thank you for the work you do here at Broadway, because without you, we would not be able to function. Our lesson today is one that I hope will be encouraging, one that may be reflective or revelatory, dependent upon your position. I titled this lesson, Bear Fruit Where You're Planted. Wherever God plants you, make it your business to bear fruit, to grow, to be productive. Because God will plant us in some of the strangest places beyond our own understanding, beyond human understanding, is how did I get here? Well, wherever you're planted, the goal should be to do all you can to bear fruit for the Lord. My text will come to you from Jeremiah 1 through 9. Jeremiah 1 through 4, 1 and 4 reads, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." The message from that is, before you were born, God knew you. God knew he had plans for you. Before any of us were born, if he said it to Jeremiah, it means the same for us. God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet. If he did that for him, he will do that for you. Appoint you for some mission where you can uphold the kingdom, some mission where you can bring a message to someone to make their life a bit fuller by being closer to the Lord. There's no reason to believe he didn't have an assignment for you and for men and women in all areas. In an area where we can hear fruit of the church and also for his people. Jeremiah 1, 6 through 8 reads, "Alas, sovereign God, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am young, Many times when the Lord calls on us to do some things, we come up with a lot of excuses why we can't. Limitations that we place upon ourselves. Well, if God calls you to do something, he will give you what you need to complete that task. The idea is to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and be led by those things that becomes a confluence of influences upon you. And you try to figure out, how did I get here? Why am I moving in this direction? In all likelihood, you're following the plan that the Lord has for your life. Remember, before you were formed in the womb, he knew you. He knew what you were going to be, how you were going to be, and how he would use you. Jeremiah 1:7 says, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you.'" When the Lord gives you a task, do not give him limitations on his power. With Jeremiah, he says that you cannot tell me that you were too young. I will give you what you need to complete the task. The same application is for all of us. God will give you what you need to complete his task he has for you. Most of the time, it becomes a matter of stepping out on faith and not placing shackles on yourself, not believing that you do not have the capacity. God would not ask you to do a thing he would not equip you to do. We place chains on ourselves. We place limitations on ourselves. We underestimate ourselves. God has a very high opinion of each and every one of us. He believes that we can do things that we don't think we can do. It becomes a matter of trust. In Jeremiah 1:8, it reads, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Whatever task that comes before you, whatever task the Lord has planned for you, he says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will guide you, I will protect you, I will lead you through it." Verses 1:9 and 10, we read, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I put my words in your mouth.'" God is saying, "For my purposes, I will give you what you need." When he assigns a task to you, he will give you what you need to complete that task. Many times we do what in literature says is kick against the gourd, which means to fight against those things that God has destined us to do. The service he's outlined for us. The people he's placed in our lives for us to complete the mission he has for each and every one of us. And make no mistake about it. Every living creature, God has a purpose for that creature. Theologically, the doctrine of creation teaches us that God has designed and outfitted his creatures with particular skills, particular interests, and abilities, and sovereignly placed them in a given circumstance in order to exercise dominion over the earth. Genesis 1:26-31 and Acts 17:26. What it says here is God places you in a situation where you can be able to influence others, be for him a troubadour, for him a warrior. Whatever the situation calls for, God gives you the opportunity to do that. Now, is this limited to any particular people or any particular person? Yes, you too do have a purpose from God. Every one of you. Every one of us has a purpose from God. Yes, you too do have a spiritual gift from the Lord. Every one of you. It may be a sense of an intuitive sense, but each and every one of us is gifted in some way from the Lord. Something my grandmother told me, my grandfather told me many years ago, God don't make no junk. So if you're God made, you know you are of value. You too are blessed. God is concerned about your well-being and about you fulfilling the missions that are outlined for you but you have not developed the courage to step out in faith. See, nothing beats a failure but a try, an old adage. See, first you must try. You must try, and if it's within the realm of the area God has outlined for you, you will be successful. Will you reach every goal you set out to? Maybe not. But along the way in that trial, you will possibly influence someone else, I guarantee you, if you're working according to God's plan. Thank God you do not need to allow people, personalities, or problems to prevent you from pursuing and fulfilling your God-given purpose. And each and every one of us has a God-given purpose. We may ignore it. We may do other things by playing short shrift with it and saying, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to do that. God will inspire you where he needs you to be. It's a matter of choice. Just as Jeremiah, we should live our lives in the way God intended. Seek God's guidance about bearing fruit where we're planted. Where we're planted is where we are. And we're to bear fruit at that spot where we are. Associated with others that we can positively influence, that they also see the work of the Lord in you and thrive for it in themselves. Seek God's guidance about bearing fruit where you're planted. A lot of times we become frustrated in our endeavors is because we try to do it ourselves without the Lord. And many times those frustrations lead us to a situation where we become disjointed and angry at the world. Because sometimes we strive for something we're not equipped to do. Everybody can't do everything. We need to find where it is that something comes so clear. And, you know, one of the things people speak about a lot of times is, you know, what are my gifts? What's my talent? And those of you who've been with me for a few years, you can close your ears, but let me talk to the other folks. We say, what is my gift? What is my talent? And what I usually share with people is, others will recognize in you your gifted area long before you do. You'll hear people say things like, she's so easy to talk to. That's your gifted area. He's so charitable. He's always willing to help. That's your gifted area. Others will recognize your gifted area long before you do. The thing people say most about you is the thing they've seen in you. And the thing you want to do is cultivate that thing that they've seen in you. And you will become fulfilled because you're operating in concert with the plan of the Lord. He will allow others to see in you long before you recognize what it is in you that they see. So pay attention to what others say about you that's good. Pay attention to what others say about you that's bad. Remember, you can learn from the bad things people say about you just as well as you can from the good things people say about you. Because what it will allow you to do is moderate behavior one way or another so that you're in accordance with God's will. Many times as Christians, we fail to understand ourselves, to know who we really are. Why are we here on earth and how well we are preparing for the life to come? And remember, all of this that we go through as we continue this life cycle is in preparation for the life to come. And when we think it in eternal terms, we stop to think of the short-sightedness and start to think more about eternity, spending life someplace in eternity. And the groundwork for that is done here and now, while we're here. Okay. Have you ever noticed that when you plant something in the ground, it grows where you planted it? Unless, of course, the bird picks it up and moves the seed or wind blows it away. But where you intentionally plant something in the ground, it usually grows there. Same thing applies with God. Where he plants you, it becomes your responsibility, my responsibility, to grow there, to exemplify as best we can the nature of God, to do the work of the Lord as best we can with our fellow people. Once a seed is planted in good soil, adequately watered, and allowed to nourish by the sun, that seed begins to grow. Now, what is the nourishment for the seed growing in one of you and me? Quite frankly, the fertilizer for the growth in one of us is encouragement. The soil is tended with encouragement. When people encourage you in your endeavors, that's why you want to try to surround yourself with people who are encouragers. Try to find a Barnabas to encourage you along the way in the things you want to do and want to achieve. When you find a Barnabas that will be there to be an encourager for you, use that as a fallback position, because the world will knock you back and forth. You need some place to be reestablished. And God put people in your lives to allow you to do that. Likewise, we humans are the same as when we plant seeds. God's given life has a purpose: to bear fruit for others, to contribute something good for others. And we can always make a starting point anytime we want to. It's not like, oh, I'm 35 years old, I'm too old for that now. I'm 80, I'm too old for that now. You can always start. And all it takes to start is a made-up mind. Quite frankly, there's nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. When we make up our mind to follow the will of God, we become powerful. We become powerful advocates for the Lord. The idea is when we allow doubt to creep in, and you start to see in the reasons why it won't work, that chips away at our faith. And our faith must be strong in order for us to succeed. Why is it that so many Christians fail to flourish in life? Just a question. Many people become discouraged, first of all, become weary and give up, fail to reach their full potential. Why do they do that? Remember, the fuel for success is encouragement. When you give encouragement, you help others to succeed. When you receive encouragement, it nurtures you and helps you to move on. That's why being surrounded by negative people all the time will have a way of chipping away at you. And you start to doubt, you start to believe what they say about you that's negative. So surround yourselves with people that have your best will, your goodwill at heart. Why is it so many people, Christians, fail to flourish in life? Many people become discouraged, become weary, and give up. They fail to achieve their goals. They become selfish and begin to live for themselves. They become insular and build a shell around themselves. Well, they can't be hurt because nothing anybody says can bother them. The problem with that is they can't reach out. When you build a shell around yourself, you can't extend yourself. You become like in a cocoon. Nothing good can come in to help you, to encourage you, to cause you to have positive thoughts of yourself and develop a positive plan for yourself. Oh, you'll be insulated. Nothing will get in, but nothing will get out. They forget the purpose of God's plan for them, and they live life according to their own wishes. They forget God's purpose in life for them. Therefore, they fail in life. They're not successful and finally ends up their lives in a hopeless condition. And you see many people who waste their lives away. And you wonder, how did that happen? Why is she so mean? Why is he so angry? Usually what's happened is there's been a degree of hurt somewhere along the line that has not been fully dealt with. a pain or a hurt that hasn't been dealt with to the point where you can reconcile it. And it turns into the person, and the person becomes that much more angry because of the hurt. As a believer in Christ, what we ought to do is what we should do. As a believer in Christ, what we ought to do is what we should do. And as a believer in Christ, you know what we ought to do. Then if you know and have knowledge of what we ought to do, then it becomes incumbent upon you to do that because you know the right thing to do. We must prayerfully and carefully live our lives under God's law. The Word of God clearly tells us the way we can flourish both now on earth and in the future in heaven. Remember, this is not all there is. So we live for here and we live for the life hereafter. Psalm 92 and 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's preparation for the other side. What does Scripture say? Those who attend the house of the Lord. And I want to talk about that for a second. That's not really an issue here at Broadway. But I did want to bring it up anyway. Because we can always slip. The idea of being planted. Not that those who just visit the house of the Lord, because we have very few visitors who are members here. Most of the people that are here are contributors. In some way or another, they contribute to the well-being of this congregation. And God bless you for it. And we thank God for it. Some visit church regularly. They may attend every church service. But are they really living according to God's will? God's blessings are upon the one who lives and bears fruit for his church. For his church. And thinking to yourself, am I living for God's church? Am I contributing all I can? My time, my talent, my treasure, all of which belongs to God. Am I doing all I can to make sure my congregation, my body of believers, where we are as a family, to make sure everyone here flourishes and grows closer to the Lord? Sadly, most of the people who call themselves Christians are failing to bear fruit. Failing to bear fruit. And what is bearing fruit? Bearing fruit is upholding the body of Christ, adding to the body of Christ. What is fruit from a tree? That's the end product. Are we producing more end products within each congregation that we attend? Some just visit church. And there's a difference between visiting church and being a part of church. They only attend if they're not really committed to physically, emotionally, or spiritually being involved. If you're not fully committed, you're a visitor. I don't care how long you've been in the congregation. If you're committed to it, then you are spiritually, emotionally, a part of that congregation. Not a visitor. Mainly, they attend because of tradition. Well, I promised Grandma I'd always come to church. Well, my mother knows that when I'm not going to church regularly, so I come out of a commitment, a wrong-headed commitment. The idea is to come to congregate to a meeting of the saints to build up one another. And again, you can... Some of my regular folks, you can excuse me, but we have a lot of visitors here, so I want to share this with them. Remember, everything we do here today, you can do at home all by yourself, except one thing. If you want to, you can preach to yourself. You can have communion all by yourself. You can sing all by yourself. Take up a collection if you want, all by yourself. The one thing you cannot do alone is build one another up. or have the value of building each other up. You cannot do that alone. You must do that in a congregate body of believers to build each other up. But all of the other parts and elements of service, you can do that at home all by yourself. But you cannot commune with the saints by yourself. That's why it's essential that you go to the meeting of the body of believers so that you can be reinforced and you can be lifted up and you can lift someone else up. We have many different opportunities to serve our church, in our church and in our community. Is our relationship with God where our faith should be? We will bear fruit where we are planted, and we will bear fruit for the people in need so that they will see Christ in the way we live. To be able to see Christ in the way we live becomes an evangelistic tool. I wanted you to think for a moment as I close. Why are we here? What can I do for the people and for Christ this year? See, it's always good to have a marker. First Sunday of the new year allows you the opportunity to think in terms of planning. Those things that are past or behind. Those things that are the future are in front of us. You can start today as a marking place to plan how it is you will be able to better grow closer to God, how it is you will be able to influence others to become part of the congregation of believers, how you can do that and begin developing a plan on the first day of the new year. Remember, God has a plan for something for each of us to do. He expects us to do it. We must be willing to grow. Must be willing to bear fruit where God has planted us. And he plants us in many different locations. In our living today, let us remember once again, just as God has purpose for Jeremiah, he has a purpose for us. Living a meaningful life is something none of us will regret. As we conclude today, if there's anyone here standing in the need of prayer or for encouragement or is prepared to be baptized and added to the body of Christ, please come forward as we stand to sing our song of encouragement. Who has that?
Standing on the
glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promise of God, standing on the promise of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promise of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.